Well, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians this morning. Ephesians, we're going to take a week off of our study from the book of Acts. Though after hearing Shelley's stories, I kind of want to get back into Acts as soon as possible. Because we're living in Acts, aren't we? It has never stopped what God is doing in the hearts of people. But Ephesians 5, 18 is the first place we're going to go. Our study today is very basic, but vitally important. I want to talk about having a thankful attitude. A thankful attitude. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul's words about gratitude. He's, in every letter he wrote, it's like he had a little checklist of some things he wanted to cover, and this was one of them. Oh yeah, I got to tell them to be thankful. Because he wrote letters to this church, this church, this church, and then he would say, oh yeah, and be thankful. And so we want to kind of look at what Paul said about an attitude of thankfulness. Because what we're looking at today is not really a list of things to be thankful for. I mean, we could do that in Scripture and be studying for weeks on end just to see the things that we should be thanking God for. But Paul, in these statements that he made in his letters to the churches, went deeper than that. He went inside and said, where does this attitude come from? How can we have an attitude of thankfulness? Because then that becomes thankfulness in everything else. If you find that you tend to be a complainer, okay, or if your family finds it out and you don't even know it, one way or another, if you find that you do a lot of complaining, if you find that you do a lot of resenting, this is life-changing. To have a sense, an attitude, something that permeates you that says, wait a minute, I belong to God and He is giving me a sense of gratitude to Him, and we live vertically, not circumstantially and horizontally. A grateful attitude is what separates those who have joy from those who don't. Because if we do not have a thankful attitude, the fact is that probably nothing can make us happy. It all starts there. So I just want to kind of give you an overview of where we're going today. How do we get it is the first issue. A thankful attitude is supernatural. You don't conjure it up on your own. It's thankfulness is something going to God, but actually it won't even happen unless it first of all comes from God. So that's the most important issue, really. The second thing is what it does, and that is a thankful attitude is the key to and really changes the way we pray. The third thing is that it also is the key to enjoyment. You can't really enjoy something unless there is an attitude of thankfulness. So that's a bit of where we're going. You can follow that in our outline and we'll kind of move along. Ephesians 5, as some of you may know, is a passage about the filling of the Spirit, which we've seen in our study of Acts, and that is that God, the third person of the triune God, God actually now indwells those who have put their faith in Christ. That's what happened to the people that Shelley had a chance to share with, and they put their faith in Christ, and something supernatural happens. God takes up residence in us, and we're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. Now that changes things, potentially, because we can either choose to live under the influence of the Spirit or not. And that's what verse 18 says. 5 verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's an illustration. A negative command and a positive command. The negative command is, don't put yourself under the influence of something like alcohol, because that leads to bad stuff. Instead, put yourself under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then he lists four things that are going to happen as a result. These are actually all grammatically participles, really kind of ing words, so I'm going to read it in that way. Four things that happen when we choose to yield to and allow God, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, to produce His life in us. Here's what they are. One is that we will speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we're going to be relating differently. Singing and making music in your heart to the Lord is the second one. Really, the first one is speaking. The second one, I think, is, I've mentioned this once before, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing. So the way we talk to each other, the way we sing and worship is going to change. Here's the third one, verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth one, we'll come back to that one, that's our focus. The fourth one is that then verse 21, submitting, that's another result, giving into one another, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, verse 20, always giving thanks for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty exhaustive. Always giving thanks for everything. You and I will not do that naturally at all. It has to be supernatural. We're naturally selfish. Nothing is too much. Nothing is too good for us. We are hopelessly complainers and demanders. That's just who we are. And so if you're feeling those kind of feelings, just know that's coming from the flesh. That's not coming from the Spirit. We need supernatural help. One morning, a little while back, I made my coffee. I have these routines. I do everything exactly the same every morning, you know, and maybe you do too, because I'm only half awake, so you got to have a routine. So I go to the cabinet, get my coffee beans, and put them in the grinder and grind them and get the coffee filter out, take the old one out, put the new one in, put the coffee in there, pour the water in there, get the coffee going, then go over here and go to my oatmeal, and I don't have to tell you the whole thing. You know how to make oatmeal too. But so I go and eat my oatmeal, and the idea is when I'm done with my oatmeal, my coffee is ready. Only this morning, behold, there was no coffee. I know it's terrible. I feel your pain. I wanted to be mad at the coffee maker, but you see, the light wasn't on. I never actually flipped the switch. So there was no coffee. I am totally dependent on the mysterious power of electricity to make my coffee. And folks, we are totally dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit to have an attitude of thankfulness. Don't walk out of here today saying, I've got to try harder to be thankful. It is only going to happen if you are connecting to God. It's a God-given thing. How would that look? That's why we need regular time with God, I think in the morning, to say, God, I'm going to face some hard stuff today. I'm going to be dealing today with some people that I don't even think I like. And if you love them, good for you. But I don't really. There's a marriage thing going on, there's a parenting thing going on, there's a coworker thing, or there's a financial thing, or whatever it is. And so I'm going to need some supernatural, Spirit-enabled thankfulness, because that's not the way I would think about this day. But God, I believe that you've got something more important than my comfort or my emotional happiness today. So God, I choose to accept with gratitude what is going to be a clear opportunity for you to do something supernatural in me today. And God, I want you to do something supernatural in me so badly that I wouldn't trade that for anything. So I am thankful that I get to face this today, because I'm just thankful that you're going to work supernaturally in me. And so I'm not going to respond to that nasty comment the way I probably would have yesterday, but I'm going to need this. And so what we're thankful for, folks, is the opportunity in all things, I think, to be spiritually growing, to be experiencing the filling of the Spirit. That's a wonderful thing. So giving thanks in all things. I mean, Paul wrote almost everything that we read today from Paul, he wrote in jail. I mean, think about that. And every time he was writing a letter, he made sure, remember, to get that be thankful all the time thing in. He was in jail unjustly. And almost everything that makes us angry or ungrateful is, in some way, we think at least, unfair. That shouldn't be. They get this. I don't. You know, blah, blah. And he wrote it in an unjust prison. It must be supernatural. Colossians 3. Page ahead, two books to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to land at verse 15. Whole list of Christian virtues, things that would be appropriate for someone who has been transformed by Christ to live like this. And verse 15 says, at the very end, it's kind of like, and be thankful. And be thankful. How? Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Do you see something familiar there? Same thing he told the Ephesians, essentially. But he says the way this is going to happen, that you can be thankful, is if you let the Word of Christ dwell in you and you worship. The Word and worship. And he still doesn't want to get off the subject, so he says, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This must be a supernatural process. How does the Spirit of God give us that attitude of thankfulness? It's as we let the Word of God saturate us, dwell, come to be at home, make its residence in us, so that it becomes normal, not natural, but supernaturally normal that the Word of God is in us. If we are not involved regularly in hearing, reading, being saturated with the Word of God, there will be no quickening power to give us a grateful attitude. It just won't happen. Because we are deluged continually in our days with a world's perspective that says people owe you and this is your right and you need to have this because the ad on TV or because your sister-in-law or because of the neighbor, whatever. So gratitude to stem the tide of all that inbred jealousy and selfishness, the Word of God needs to dwell richly in us, to get God's perspective on that. And then, it's as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our heart to God. So music becomes a way to express to God gratitude. Who do we sing to? What does it say? Singing with in gratitude in your hearts to God. Not to the person around you who might hear you sing off pitch when we're singing corporately. Singing in your hearts to God. It's a command, actually. This, be thankful, let the Word of Christ sing with gratitude. We really don't have a choice on this if we're going to be obedient to Christ. You and I need spiritual music in our life. It's okay if we have secular music too. If you can enjoy it, there's a lot of great music. If you can enjoy secular music with gratitude in your heart, that's great. But someplace we need spiritual music. To somehow God has designed, given us, music didn't just, man didn't invent it. It came from God. Angels sang for joy, and God created. So there's a way to express to God. So sing, corporately sing along with your iPod or car radio or whatever it is, or just plain sing. I find myself humming, singing songs that we end up singing. I mean, I'm at three services, so maybe they get in my head a little bit more than yours, but I end up singing that same song often during the week. So then, whatever you do, verse 17, word, deed, whatever it is, things you say, things you do, you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Twice now he's brought up in the name that thanksgiving is in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's under the authority of, it's in the response to the Lord Jesus somehow. It's centered on Christ. I was trying to think, so how is thanksgiving centered on Christ? Well, doesn't every blessing we have flow from the cross? Because of the cross, we have the assurance of heaven. I mean, just what a huge relief. Not just a relief, it's an anticipation. So we are citizens of heaven. And then we know because of the cross, he says, I will be with you. Jesus says, I'll be with you always. So he's with you as you try to share Christ. He's with you when you're walking through your day. He's with you. So he saves me. He's with me. He's working in me. There's all kinds of reasons to be thankful in every situation that have, in a sense, nothing to do with the situation. It has to do with Christ, our relationship with Him. So I just challenge you this week to make these statements, God's instructions for you this week. You'll be talking to some customers or whatever. Your kids will keep you up at night with the cold. You'll spend time this week with relatives you love. And then the other relatives too. and you're going to need the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. And gratitude will change everything. And then, okay, we realize it's supernatural. The Holy Spirit, He's going to work through the Word. He's going to work through my worship. And He's going to begin to transform the way we pray. 1 Thessalonians is the next book in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's really start with 16. They're short. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Be joyful always." Verse 17, "Pray continually." 18, "Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, every time you give thanks, you realize that actually is prayer. It's funny how people talk about Thanksgiving. Be thankful this season, and there's no direct object in the sentence. I mean, there's no, like, thankful to who? Be thankful that. Don't you hear that a lot? Be thankful that, because you just want to say God or something. But thankful always has to have an object. And be thankful. Singing in your hearts to God, etc. So be thankful. It's a prayer in all circumstances, no matter what you face. It was almost funny. Actually, by the end of Friday, it was funny. But Friday morning is kind of like the crunch time. I need to finish the main part of the sermon preparation. And get the outline's got to be typed, and I've got to be typed. Has to be run in the for the bulletin, so I got to get it done by noon. So I'm thinking I got to finish this up Friday morning. I spent most of Friday morning on the phone with AT&T because the internet, email, and all that stuff didn't work. And I came in, and so you know, you go through all the phone menu things, and then you they do the test, the automatic test, and then if you press zero hard enough, you get to talk to a human being, and then they talk to you, and then they do the test, and they concluded it's not their fault, and it's our equipment up in my closet, and so there's something wrong with that. So they said, you need to go down to the AT&T store, and so they found it's down by Bayshore, but you got to call them, you know, and make sure they have the stuff. And so the next hour, I tried 6 or 7 times to talk to real persons at the store, you go through the menu things and what's your problem, et cetera, and at the end it says, that maddening message, it says, "I'm sorry, but we're busy with other customers. Please try your call later. You're done." And then 6 times later, I was really getting anxious to talk to those busy people and their customers, but I got a hold of them, and they finally answered, and they had the stuff, and so I went down there and got it and came back, and I couldn't get it installed, so Andy helped me, and he got it installed and configured, so we're back up. And I had to think, this is kind of ironic. I can't get this message done about being thankful in all circumstances. Because I've spent the whole day listening to recorded messages. But that's a small thing, I know. It's a day and it's over and it's all taken care of. But probably as you go to some Thanksgiving dinner this week, you are going to have a burden with your blessings. It just, there's two things going on all the time. It's not that, Rick Warren once said, it's not, he said, he used to see life as hills and valleys, up and down, you know, those good times and bad times. He said, I don't see it that way. I see it as two railroad tracks, and you got the burden, you got the blessings, and they're always going at the same time. You do them both, which is why it's so important to give thanks in all circumstances. Because I think what ultimately we're saying is, God, I honor you that you have this situation in control. That's the only way I can see that we can be thankful in all things. We're saying, God, I realize that I don't have all the facts. I realize that what is unpleasant to me, what is maybe even horrible to me, is something that there's something eternally wise going on. And so really my attitude of thanksgiving is saying, God, I trust you with this. Because Paul didn't say, wow, I enjoy jail. He says, I enjoy giving God thanks that He is doing something. And so we don't give thanks. So we think we honor God when we give thanks for things we don't like because God is doing something that He likes. And I got to trust what He likes, not me. And so we begin to pray differently. Go back to Philippians, just a couple books back now. Again, written from jail. And kind of a classic passage, I think, on how to pray about our worries. And isn't that the main thing that stimulates prayer in our life, is worries, fears? Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. That says, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, and then it says, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And if you've been a believer in Christ for a while, you've probably hung on to that verse in a lot of situations. I have, and you got something troubling you or keeping you awake, and I enjoy just praying verses back to God and say, kind of like, God, you said that. So isn't it kind of like saying, this is your promise, God? This is for you to, you know, you to work out. You wrote it. But kind of the part of this verse that always makes me hiccup a little bit is the expression with thanksgiving. Okay, if I'm worried, how do I thank Him if I'm worried? Some would say this is being thankful because we already know that God will answer, so it's like faith. I'm not so sure. Not in the sense that somehow I think that me praying it makes it happen. I think it's the trust issue again. I think it's saying, God, I'm praying thankfully that I know you have a good answer, even if that good answer is no. Even if it's wait, even if it's, I'm going to take you through a very difficult time. Because life always has that tension in a sinful earth between my control and God's control, what I think is best and what God thinks is best. And I think only as we pray with that thankful trust does then verse 7 become true for us. It says, and the peace of God, as a result, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer is meant to bring peace that transcends understanding. Means we won't even be able to understand this kind of peace. So don't expect peace that you do understand. If you've got a financial worry and you get a big fat raise, I can understand that peace. If we've got health worries and the tests come back good, then I can understand that peace. If it's got relationship problems and just the right person apologizes in just the right way, I can understand that peace, but that's not the kind of peace He promised. He promised peace that transcends all understanding. You won't be able to catch on to this one, He says, because it's a supernatural peace that only comes from praying thankfully, trusting God that He's going to do what is right in your situation. Thankful attitude changes the way we pray. But it's not just about hard times. I love some of the other things He says, because a thankful attitude, that internal transformation, is what changes our ability to enjoy things. God meant us to enjoy. Do you believe that? Let's go to. I got these on the PowerPoint. Thankful attitude is the key to enjoyment, and I believe it's first of all because of the trust thing again. If we don't trust God when things are bad, we won't be able to trust Him that He means for us to enjoy what is good. If we don't believe that He's working in a bad situation, it's almost like we're going, well, this can't last, you know. When something that is fun, good, positive, it's like we have to wait for another shoe to fall because, you know, surely God wouldn't. That's a little red flag. If you can't enjoy what is good, then we got to go back to trusting Him about all situations. But on the other hand, if we had have an attitude of thankful trust about all things, we're free to enjoy the good things. So one reason we don't enjoy things is because we haven't dealt with the trust issue. There's another reason why sometimes we don't enjoy things. It's because certain people maybe around us, and we're part of that, I guess, ourselves, have kind of programmed into us that it's not good to enjoy things. You should feel guilty if you enjoy things. Interesting problem that continued on. Oh, yeah. Discontent. Forgot about this guy. A quote I have that came across some time ago is that a discontented heart has the attitude that everything he does for God is too much, everything God does for him is too little. Okay? Meant to mention that. Do you feel like God does too little? Galatians 2:4 talked about some of the people who have this hard thing about enjoying life. Some false brothers have infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. Now, technically, that was about a salvation issue with circumcision, but it's just their attitude of their heart. And we meet those kind of people again in 1 Timothy. They, some false teachers, forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. Hence the Pizza Hut sign. But no, too much pizza and you won't enjoy very much either. But the idea is that there are some people who, under the guise of spirituality, and it's a false teaching, it's like, no, spirituality is based on what you don't do. Spirituality is from abstaining. Enjoying is not part of spirituality. Abstaining is spirituality. Don't marry. Don't eat certain foods. You may have grown up with religious ideas like that. A couple of questions, I think, have to help us, because we know there are things we shouldn't enjoy. We know that freedom can go into a ditch, just like being uptight can go into a ditch. There's a couple of ditches. How do you sort that out? I think one question is, can I thank God for this? Can I thank God for this? Whatever it is I'm enjoying, can I thank God for it? And if I'm having a hard time thanking God for it, what does that mean? Well, still, it could be that it's something that God doesn't have for you. For whatever reason, some may be unique to you, someone else can enjoy it, you shouldn't. It's something God has shown you need to sacrifice for whatever reason, so it could be that God doesn't have it for you, or it could be that you got this program playing in your mind of somebody said you shouldn't enjoy this. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, if I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? What kind of meal was he talking about? He was talking about some good steak dinners, meat that had been offered to idols. Now, I know that's not a deal with us, but it was back then. In the occultic background, a lot of the food you bought in the marketplace, you knew was actually sacrificed to idols. It was part of the whole pagan culture, and so that meat came into the market. And some Christians who had a background in that paganism, it was just too much. They just couldn't stand to think of eating meat offered to idols. And Paul says you got to give them the freedom to abstain if they don't want to. But on the other hand, it is just meat. And Paul says you have the freedom to enjoy that meat at a meal. He even makes the comparisons. He said the qualification is, now if you're with somebody who's got a problem with that, don't eat meat. He says, man, for the sake of unity and glorifying God, just don't eat it when you're around them. But other times you're free to eat it. So enjoy. He says, why should a meal that I can thank God for be a problem? So, but he says, here's the guide. Whatever you do, eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So can you thank God for it? And if you're struggling to thank God for it, is it because of these people or is it because God really doesn't have it for me? And so there is a reason. There can be a health reason. There can be a ministry reason. There can be a care for another person reason why indeed we shouldn't enjoy certain things. But if not, then enjoy it. And if we have a thankful attitude about all things, we're free to enjoy the good things. So pray and discern. I can't tell you what things you can enjoy and what you can't. But you need to be thinking that through, that God is a God who gives good things. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. If it's good, it came from God, so I can enjoy it and thank Him for it. It's coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, the one who made those beautiful suns, moon, and stars, all the stuff you enjoy there. And so it's sad that sometimes as Christians, we just can't enjoy stuff. I'm afraid heaven's going to be a shock for some people because they just aren't used to enjoying anything. You know. But now we've got to get used to this wonderful heaven. God's the God of enjoyment within His will. Thankful for all things, we can enjoy the good things. A thankful attitude finally also enables us to enjoy God's financial provisions. And I know that's something that especially we as Americans go to our Thanksgiving tables. We're well fed. And really, we have a challenge of being thankful in a different way, because we have generally an abundance. It's okay to enjoy that, right? I mean, should we feel guilty about the fact that we have so much? A thankful attitude, we're going to see, doesn't depend on whether we have little or much, whether we're even hungry or well fed. It depends on our attitude towards God. Sometimes people thankfully enjoy bare necessities. The story in 2 Corinthians is that hard times had fallen on the church in Jerusalem, where everything started, where we've been reading in Acts, and there was a famine. And so the Christians there were really suffering, actually hungry. They weren't having big Thanksgiving dinners. And so Paul, as he went around to the other parts of the country where there had been churches now, was gathering money for them. And he says, when you give to them, he says, this service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people physically, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God spiritually. So you're picturing the people of Jerusalem, when they receive the money or grain that is going to feed them and just get by, it's going to become thanks to God. Just think about that. That's telling you something about the spiritual state of the believers who are thrilled with just having enough to eat. It also tells us a lot about giving. It's not just to meet physical needs, but it actually creates a spiritual conduit to heaven and God benefits. Not just the people benefit. The purpose of thanks is for God to benefit for our thanks. So does that mean, you know, we'd all be happier if we had bare necessities? Paul addressed the wealthy as well. He says, enjoy wealth. But Paul's told Timothy, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, that is, I did this, or to put their hope in wealth, this is what I'm depending on, which is so uncertain, 2007, 2008, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's okay to enjoy what God has given when you are acknowledging and praising God for what is given, but then remember to command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. So the attitude of gratitude in physical financial abundance is going to overflow in that I'm going to want to share with others, and not just money, by the way, you notice that, rich in good deeds, time as well. Sometimes money is the easiest thing to give. Time is so much harder, but to just have a generous lifestyle will be the response to God if we're truly grateful. And then Paul says, I've been on both sides. He says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here is the secret. Verse 13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So he is saying, I have lived what I've been telling you in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians about in everything give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. He says, that's the only way you can give thanks in every situation. The only way you can give thanks in all circumstances is if you're focused on the strength that Christ gives you, no matter if it's this way or if it's this way. And you know, I really wonder if in God's plan, it seems that there's, for everyone, even us rich Americans, that we have times of financial need, or at least worry and fear, as well as times of plenty. Is it somehow vitally important for us spiritually to experience those both? And God has, in every economy, in every level of wealth, I think, a way to make sure that we have some financial worry as well as financial provision. That the ups and downs serves a purpose. Deuteronomy 8 talks about that. It'd be a good study or just something to read this afternoon. Where God says to Israel, you know, I let you go hungry out there. And then I gave you manna. And then I let you get thirsty. And then I gave you water from the rock. And he says, I did this to humble and test you. Because of the good I had planned for you. I was taking you into the promised land where you were going to have an abundance. And he says, my worry, my God's concern was that you would get there and you would say, my hand has made me wealthy. So he said, I had to give you times where you didn't have enough to eat, you didn't have enough to drink, I provided. So that you can enjoy when I bless you. Because if we don't trust God, thankfully, in the ups and downs, we're not going to be able to give God the praise when we enjoy what He's provided. See, there's a different economy in heaven than what we think of. The currency of heaven is thanks and praise. Being poor is not more spiritual. Being rich is not more spiritual. God is not more pleased with the poor Christian or the rich Christian. God is more pleased with the thankful Christian. And so, don't you suppose that God would be, if that's the currency, if that's what brings Him pleasure, and if God does what's His will and His pleasure, then wouldn't He do whatever He had to do in that individual plan for each of us to elicit, if possible, if we respond, true thanks through whatever circumstances, because it's about Him. See, we could be studying Thanksgiving attitude, and the subtext going on in our mind is kind of like, well, okay, yeah, I think being helpful, thankful would help me, and I think it might make me, well, I don't know, will it make me happier? Will it work? Will it change anything? What's wrong with that line of questioning? It's still about whether or not somehow I'm going to use a thankful attitude to manipulate it to make me better, to bring me pleasure. No, that's not the purpose. An attitude of thankfulness is what brings pleasure to God. And when that's our goal, the result is we're at peace about difficult circumstances. We enjoy good things. But that's not the goal. That's the result. The goal is to give thanks to the one who deserves it all. Let's pray. Oh Lord, these are familiar but difficult disciplines. Retrain our thoughts. We are naturally selfish. Nothing's too good for us. We resent what's hard. We take credit for what's good. Lord, do the work in me each day and in each of us to realize that we are first connected to You. We have to have Your Spirit's power. We need to dwell in the Word, and we need to worship so that You can transform us from the inside out. And that the end goal is that You are praised and pleased. And we thank You that we can be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen.